Shut up. What is on Triple M?
Tools down.
You've all had a big busy week.
Radio on.
Look how happy they are.
Triple M footy roars into the weekend.
Oh, it's red hot.
Game on.
Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC.
This is the Friday Huddle. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome wherever you're listening around Australia, around the world. A massive, massive week of footy and underway again tonight. The Crows at home taking on the Bombers. Big show coming your way. Nace top five, the hot topics. Matthew Nix, the coach of the Adelaide Crows, to join us. And a very special night for us here on the Friday Huddle. I look across at our captain. He's proud. He's proud. His name is Luke Darcy. He's proud.
Almost emotional, I would say, Howie. And I mean that in the most positive way. We always knew the man alongside me was a legend and it was only a matter of time. But to have it officially recognised, only the 32nd ever official AFL legend. What a great night.
Damo, it took too long for mine. Hello to you.
I agree. It should have been done some years ago, but he's there now. And I'm looking forward to our Triple M Friday Huddle celebration of the occasion.
And nice to see you, Nathan. And the best thing about this is we know Jason likes to embrace this type of thing and he's very happy to make it all about himself tonight.
Well, we're going to be happy for him. That's because right. He doesn't seem to be happy, but I've noticed he has been out shopping. He's
what's
got
he wearing?
Some new clothes.
What's he got?
He's got a new Tommy Hilfiger top on. He's got some Ralph Lauren pants. He's got some new Nike runners. And he is on this weekend.
Has he bought that this week, Brownie?
He has bought that this week. And I saw he show up on the TV screen. He had a new Nike t-shirt on. So he's like, I'm in the legend. I need to go out and get some new clubber.
That one was 10 years old on the screen. And I've bought a new long sleeve t-shirt. That is the only thing that's new.
Chief.
But thank you, Nathan.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mark.
We do joke on this, but congratulations, mate. What does this tremendous honour mean to you and your family and all your supporters, mate?
It's a great privilege, an incredible honour, and a very humbling one. And it's been a really it's a sobering week. It actually is. But it's also been a long week. Lots of messages, lots of chatting to people. And I'm not comfortable with all the attention, as you know. Mm-hmm. So it's been slightly challenging at times. But I'm eternally grateful for the honour because, as Duke said, I mean, when you consider in the history of the game, there's only 32 there. That speaks volumes for what the honour actually is.
Chief, can you just remind people, because only last week at Gather Round we're talking about your upbringing, and for all intents and purposes you should have played rugby union or rugby league, and the fact that you chose in the 80s or even earlier AFL football as your chosen path, given how random that is, how did that come about?
I started when I was five in the under sevens because you weren't allowed to play rugby at that age, and I apparently bothered my parents endlessly saying, I want to play footy, I want to play footy, I want to play footy. Now, my father was a rugby union man. I played rugby union at private school, but you weren't allowed to play at that age. So I started in the under sevens as a five-year-old playing Aussie rules at Cooperoo, and then just went under sevens, under nines, 11s, all the way through with my mates there.
Chief, with the coming of age and the perspective that changes as every single person in life gets older, how was it this week when, well, actually the phone call you got from Richard Goyder and the realisation, and then as it settled, just now that you are, and I'm not making this a 60th birthday thing, but we're celebrating that this year on other occasions. How important was it for you, just in where you are right now?
Happy to get it while I'm still breathing, Damien, which is nice.
No, but what I'm saying is if you had got it, say, 10 years ago, would it have meant as much maybe?
Oh, I think it would. I got the call opening round. We were up in Sydney doing a game for Fox, and I was actually sitting next to Sarah Jones waiting for our coverage to start, and had a call from Richard Goyder. And it's funny, I'm going, what have I got a call from Richard Goyder for? And she goes, oh, you're a legend. You're being made of love. Shut up, Jonesy. And then I went away and called him back and got the news, and then I had to go back and lie to Jonesy. And so it was nothing to do with that. So.
Was your first instinct, Chief, that your past may have caught up with you in another area?
No, nothing like that, Chief. But I am really glad. I'm really glad the AFL came out and made it public news. Because there's nothing worse than having to sit on something, particularly when you work in this industry. And as you get close to the Hall of Fame night, people start giving their opinions on who's going to be elevated, who's going to be inducted, all those sorts of things. So it's nice not to have to lie for a couple of months.
You love the night too, don't you? You get your old Hawthorn mates, Johnny Platten.
And it's the best night of the year.
Yeah.
You just get to share it with former teammates, former opponents, great people that you just don't see very often in the game. And I think they do it really, really well, the AFL.
Chief, you know I love you. I consumed everything this week, Damo.
So
I watched on the couch. I read the papers. I watched the press conference. But my favourite quote was provided by Ben Dixon. Usain Bolt in a Hawthorn jumper. I thought that was an outstanding quote, Chief.
Couldn't be further from the truth. Now he's a tall, lithe, athletic type, and I'm a little robust thing.
Now, you know we have tremendous love for you, and we are now doing a new segment.
We're just about done.
We're actually just starting, to be honest with you, Chief. We're doing a new segment on the Friday Huddle, Darcy, and it goes something like this.
Jason Dunstall, this is your life.
How are you feeling about this segment?
It'll be a very short segment.
Well, it's not. It's actually rather lengthy because the Triple M phone lines, Darcy, blew up this week with people. This is not a national situation. This is our global situation, Damo, where people wanted to express their love for the Chief. So we collected and collated a lot of messages. We could go for hours. But this man is international. He's global. And the first message left on 13353 on Triple M was from the 2005 Ashes winning skipper, Michael Vaughan.
Of course it was.
Hey, Chief. Michael Vaughan here. Huge congrats on the legend induction. 1,254 goals, four flags. Extraordinary. Reckon you were a bit stiff, actually, not to win it in 1992 after 145 goals in the Brownlee. But there's another story for you. But Scotty Wynn got that. What a great player he was. Anyway, well done. See you in Oz in a few months' time. See you, pal. Well done.
You fed him some poor information.
I said it's like wind as in wind up, and he's gone with wind. That was about 20 more messages.
Massive fan.
Of course he was.
Well, you wouldn't believe it, Howie. The second person to call in was also a cricketer, and I think it's everyone's favourite cricketer from an Australian perspective.
Right.
G'day, Chief. Gilly here. Legendary status, mate. Truly deserved. Four-time premiership player, six-time 100 for the Hawks. But what I remember is your courage, real courage, to wear that helmet. I mean, many considered it, but they thought better. But courageous by you, mate.
Big messages, Brandon.
Big messages. More? Well, that's sport. That is cricket. So we have got Australia's most well-known poet and lyricist to put this together.
Dunstall, first name, Jason. Your work puts me in mind of a classical stonemason. The art of force refined. Nothing complicated. Your body served your eye. Skill and power weighted, all lined up, straight as a die. On the toughest of all stages, you built a great cathedral, a monument for the ages. You're a legend, Jason Dunstall. Now, just in case you're wondering who this might be at all, it's the singer, not the swansman, Kelly, first name, Paul.
Wow.
Is that nice of him?
Poems about him? I don't know, Chief. He just left 13353.
I don't think he rang in off his own.
He did.
They rang in. Let's be honest. None of us could have written what Paul Kelly just came up with there.
We're only scratching the surface here,
Darcy. He's a poet in every sense of the word, and he loves the Chief.
He loves the Chief.
Footy fan too.
I'd like Nathan to write a poem about me. I think Nathan could do that.
By the end of tonight. That's your task, Nate. We're going to finish tonight with a poem for Chief. The Wisden Cricketer of the Year, called Triple M. Have a listen to this.
G'day, Chief. Pat Cummins here. Congratulations on the legend status. I haven't seen many better combinations than Stark and Hazel with a new pill, but I reckon you and Dermot were a thing of beauty. And you were better than him. Congratulations, mate.
He's rung in from Hyderabad, where he's captaining the IPL.
And they're flying the Sunrisers,
they
too.
They are. Now,
in between accepting the Wisden Cricketer of the Year.
The Wisden Cricketer of the Year. We're only warming up now. We were surprised.
One more.
No,
one more,
oh, no, Chief.
There's
no.
A few more, Chief.
We got a call from Lahore. They checked it back who it was, and it was the great Pakistani was on the line.
Oh, come
on. Hey, Chief, it's Wazim Akram here. Congrats on the legend status. I'm known for my swing bowling, but I'm most proud of my hair. It's very soft and bouncy, but it's nothing compared to the most magnificent hair you used to have. So long, so lovely, so soft. But where is it gone now, Chief?
Where's it gone now, Chief?
What's it? Very funny from Wazim.
Was that actually him or someone putting on
a hat? No, that was Wazim. 13353 should be a voice. Damo, the numbers kept ringing.
They did. Not just cricketers, Howie. This is a round ball exponent and Chief's a famous Australian from the 1970s and 1980s.
G'day, Chief. This is Craig Johnston. I hope you're well, and this is a call just to congratulate you for your Hall of Fame recognition at last, and mate, also because I know you're a big red, you're one of us, and what a great season it would be with you getting that recognition, but also how about us winning the Premier League for Jurgen Klopp? That would be wonderful. Mate, I've had a few recognitions over the years, but, mate, I'd give away a couple of my medals if I was able to kick as consistently and professionally and score as many goals as you have in a glorious career. So, mate, all I wanted to say is all the very best, and you'll never walk alone, and come on, you Reds. Come on, you Reds. Come on, you
Love
Reds.
It.
One last big season.
And the season was going brilliantly until we lost to Palace last week, which probably puts us under the gun. I mean, anyway, great. He's right. I'm a true Red. We're Liverpool through and through.
But wait, there's more?
Absolutely, there is more. There is more.
Who else rang in?
You grew up barracking for?
Carlton.
Carlton. Imagine if you could have played with this guy.
Hey, Bungle. It sticks here, mate. Hope you will. Congratulations. Legend status. It's about bloody time we got in. You're always going to be what a star player you've always been. Bungle, we've had great times on off the field. The Metro nightclub, we had a few incidents there in the old days. But I'll never forget the great thing you did for the Carlton Football Club. You laid down for the 87-3 final and helped the Blues win it, mate. So that's the greatest achievement you've ever done, apart from all the premierships at Hawthorn. What a great player you were, mate. Congratulations on your appointment. Well done, mate. Sticks.
One of the best blokes in football. Wow. Sticks. And is there a deeper voice from anyone in football?
And one of the great things is actually, for me, sitting in a room when Stephen Kernan walks in and the admiration that he generally has for the Chief. And we saw that, I think, in round two. He had a pretty big afternoon.
Sticks, yeah, he's a ripper bloke.
The thing I love about Chief is that he doesn't have many people that he's had blues with over the journey. In fact, you walk around and he's universally loved. The Chief.
Absolutely. We love
but
him.
But he has had one famous run in over the journey. And we thought maybe time to go and just settle an old score. And I think this is a nice message as well, Chief.
Jason Dunstall, Stephen Quatermain here. Congratulations on your incredible honour. All jokes aside, you thoroughly deserve this gong. You were a champion and also played with great courage and humility. Thank you for contributing to four Hawthorn premierships. And as a token of my appreciation, I'd love to take you out for a succulent Chinese meal, minus the fried rice.
He sent me a nice message too, Q.
They kept coming.
All right, wrap it up, Bubba.
We've got a couple more.
133353, one of the most iconic voices, and you'll know it as soon as you hear it, in VFL AFL history, rang in, and he was enamoured by you, Chief, this man.
Hey, Chief, Sandy Roberts here. Just want to congratulate you on the well-deserved elevation to legend status. I got to say, I did love commentating on you as a player. I get so excited when you're about to kick 100 and I was calling. I'd watch that ball sail through. I'd ramp it up. And then I'd see you giving the crowd absolutely nothing. No emotion, nothing. Come on, Chief. At least a smile, man. Seriously, love your work, Jason.
Got another lovely message from Sandals as well.
Right.
Cracking
now,
bloke.
We spoke about Wazim before, who spoke about hair, and there was no better hair in 85, 86, 87, around the 88 time than you. In tennis, there was no better hair in 85, 86, 87 than a great Hawthorn supporter in Pat Cash.
Oh. His speed and agility made him a pretty good tennis player. I'm surprised how good a tennis player he was. Boy, can he play. But I tell you where he doesn't play too well was the nightclubs in London. But well done to Dunstall, Jace. Mate, absolutely. Superstar. Given me and the Hawks fans so much pleasure over the years seeing you perform, play. Amazing. And congratulations. Absolutely. I know you're modest, but, mate, take it. You are an absolute superstar legend.
So
he was the one that could lead the boys astray overseas.
The nightclubs in London, what happened there?
Yeah, he had access to everything. Everything.
Private
clubs, the lot.
Chief, did he train with the Hawks? Is that true?
He's come down and do pre-season. He'd bring a mate and they'd join in the running sessions. You know, you'd do what was called fartlek back then, where you just jog the bends and sprint the straights. And you know, you'd do half an hour of that. Yeah. And I didn't know if they use that term these days, Nate. And he'd just run with the boys, and they all knew him because he was a keen hauler man, and he was a really good athlete. Quick, very quick.
Chief, you know, I could speak about you. I just got one question. We've got no more grabs, but you talked about the fact you were how old when you played your first game of footy?
Five.
I know it's a long time ago, but what's your first memory of kicking a big bag? Like in the under watts when you just cut loose? Under sevens, under nines?
Nah. No recollection.
No recollection at all.
When I had the fortunate experience to interview Chief for that Centurions project I did some years ago, he kicked six times, 100 goals in a season. You could remember a couple of the times that went through. That's how many goals you kicked.
Well, couple of hits to the head, I think, Damo. It's probably affected the memory.
But were you a star as a kid? Were you a star?
No, not really. Not
yes,
not early days. You just played with your mates. But we had a really good team. We had some gun players, and we won it every year throughout the juniors. It was just
were you a full forward
mates.
Or not?
No, I started as a half forward flank. I went on to be a ruck rover, a centre half forward. Wasn't until 84, I reckon, when I first started to play senior footy at Coorparoo that I started playing full forward.
And we had John Kennedy Jr. last week. It was incredibly entertaining and told the story of you going to Fitzroy training and them saying, not required, Chief. Do you remember that session?
Yeah, I do. We had a week there. And first training session at Fitzroy, I got ripped by Bernie Quinlan.
Big Bernie gave
it to you. Yeah, we were just doing some circle work and I didn't call him back. I didn't think he was going to get there, so I said, I'll get it. And he just turned
big
around
super
and call a player back. And protect their back as he's coming in. So I learned very quickly.
So who at Fitzroy delivered the message to you that it's not going to work out?
They just didn't get back to me. It's, we'll don't call us, we'll call you.
Who was the coach of Fitzroy at the time?
Rob Walls.
Oh,
Wallsy.
But I was desperate to go to Carlton and I'd spoken to them, but then they didn't get back to me either. I would have crawled over broken glass to play for
so
the
you
Blues.
Got in touch and you didn't hear anything back from the Blues?
Nope. But I got an offer. No, I actually got an offer from both Fitzroy and Hawthorn.
Right.
But it wasn't about the money.
Why'd you choose Hawthorn?
More stable club at the time, because Fitzroy always looked to be struggling a bit. As I said, it was like, one offer was like 5,000 and one was 10,000. So it wasn't exactly big dollars back then.
I think we throw the rest of the rundown out, Damo, spend an hour and a half talking to Chief about Chief.
I've got another 10 questions out of that last 3 minutes.
And I think that's what the audience want. Unprecedented feedback on the 1-3-3-5 live. People want to leave their own messages to us.
100%. 1-3-3-5-3 is the number.
Leave a message for Chief.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
What's happening, Damo?
Well, the story of the week, how he was the Charlie Cameron dismissal at the tribunal of his sling tackle on Jake Lever on the grounds of good character. It has caused a lot of reaction around the community.
Well, they didn't dismiss it, did they?
Well,
they confirmed guilty, the but dropped it from a week to a fine.
They did say it was careless, but not, quote, grossly careless. So there was a subset of careless as well as part of their deliberations, Chief. I haven't heard your views on it, Chief. I'll just get yours before we then get some other people in football's views on it.
I think we're all a bit confused by some of the decisions, and it's not just this one. Some that the Toby Green one didn't even rate a mention. And then others are getting fined, some are getting suspended. Yeah. But then you create a rod for your own back by bringing in the Good Samaritan rule, which when people all of a sudden then look at all the things that he's done that have copped fines over the journey haven't quite been of Good Samaritan character, have they? So they've created a rod for their own back. But I think it's just a matter of if a club gets a player off, it's good luck. But how would you know?
It means that he can play, Brownie, tomorrow night, Brisbane Lions versus Geelong. There's a bit of history between the coaches of those two clubs. You recall 3 seasons ago they were going at it even in the breaks. Yep. And there's a bit of fallout. So Chris Scott, I love Chris Scott. I think he always speaks his mind. He's conscious this week of speaking negatively about another player that he's about to come up against, particularly this club. But he did go down this path yesterday, and I think he summarises the views of a lot of people in footy.
If a player with a similar record from your team, would you be expecting to use that loophole as well for the rest of the year?
Oh, well, you have to now. Whether you agree with it or not, it's incumbent on you to use that. It would be offensive to any of our players to suggest that they're of lesser character than the two players in recent history who have successfully used that clause, because there are plenty of others who have asked for it and been denied. Which is highly offensive.
So he's articulated it that way. And then Chris Fagan today, you'll hear in his voice, he does get a little bit fired up when he gets asked about the Charlie Cameron situation, and he takes it down a different path.
I think if you look at that incident, and you look at Lever, we're talking about impact here. So yes, for me, impact is impact. So was Jake Lever hurt? No, he wasn't. Did he go off for a concussion test? No, he didn't. Was there a medical report from the Melbourne Football Club about his condition? No, there wasn't. So on every measure, the impact of that incident was low, in my opinion.
The tribunal did find that it was medium impact there. They used the off-field stuff as a downgrade. But,
yeah, they talked about it was at the low end of medium impact. Well, I'm arguing to you that it was low impact.
Yeah, low end of medium is still medium impact.
Yeah, well, mate, interview the tribunal. Don't interview me. I didn't make the decision, okay?
That's a good comeback.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. And so I just want to say too, Chris Scott also had said prior to what we just played that he felt that was the right call to have him play, that the tackle that he saw didn't warrant a one-game suspension, which I think is to your point, Chief, the confusion around such incidents.
But can I just ask a question? Are we going back to it's the result that determines the suspension, or are we trying to outlaw actions in the game which by nature should cop a suspension because we don't want that action, and then you load up the penalty if there's more damage done to the player.
And all you want in anything is just consistency to understand. Yeah. And when all of us that have spent our lifetime in it are confused, that's not. And I used to like, historically, if you had played 250 games and you'd never been reported, then I think there is a buffer that you get and you maybe could go for good character. If you've been rubbed out six times in a year, then you probably the weight should go against you. But is that new? Is that
the AFL anymore? Feel embarrassed? Well, because it is embarrassing what's happened.
They had the chance, Brownie, to change it on the spot. Now, they've chosen under Andrew Dillon, and he said this himself on AFL.com.au the next day, that they will review it at the end of the year, but they will not appeal it. They've got the rights to appeal it. They appealed the Bashahuli sentence of a couple of seasons ago.
How many
ago.
People are involved in a decision like that? Say the decision comes down. Charlie Cameron is free to play on good bloke grounds.
Yep.
How many people then at the AFL go into a meeting and go, are we going to allow this to go through or are we not? Who's involved in
Laura
those Cain's decisions?
Head of footy. Andrew Dillon is the legal person still. There's Stephen Mead is the legal counsel. They would have, I'd imagine, thrashed it out. They've chosen just to let it go and they'll say they'll review it.
Surely at the end of the year, they'll have to come out and make a statement around this and say this will not apply anymore. Yeah, or they'll close that loophole.
Particularly too, Darce, I know what you said about the good behaviour and the good character, but there were five examples of him being fined and three of them related directly to rough conduct.
Right.
So well, it wasn't a squeaky
right
clean record,
then, is it? For that to be the case,
so they've just had a nightmare that they're trying.
And Adrian
to
Anderson built the system, well, and he's the one arguing against the system.
And that's another layer of it. And then the incident was a Thursday night; it was heard on a Tuesday night. There's so many issues with it. I feel the whole system.
I've got an issue with the AFL actually appealing those decisions on their own independent tribunal. I think that isn't the right thing to do. You have to trust that isn't it. Because as soon as the AFL appeal it, that adds a connotation to it that I think is unfair
but
in itself.
Equally, the Match Review Office is the AFL's body.
Correct.
And then the tribunal said, no, we don't like what you're saying.
And they're appealing their own body, effectively. Anyway. Yeah.
So you, during the week, said that the MRO should be scrapped.
No, not the MRO should be scrapped. There's two tribunals. So the MRO needs to stand. I think Michael Christian shouldn't be the person in Michael Christian's chair should be brought in-house. This is my view.
So full-time.
Full-time. It's an outsourcing of that role.
So bring Michael Christian in as a full-timer.
Yes, that, and then I'd remove one of the two tribunals because I don't know how you've got umpires, Match Review Office, one tribunal, and then wait for it, you've got another tribunal if you really want to play the whole thing through the whole system. So it's just messy, full stop. Well,
they try to have the tribunal now as the objective impartial body. So that's the one that they can appeal against by saying, well, that's them making that decision, but we're going to take it further.
But then you've got another body if you want to take it further again.
Correct. And then the AFL can overrule that again.
It can.
If they're not happy. Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M. Rocks footy. Now you've got some funny stuff.
Well, Howie, I reckon one of the Triple M family's favourite footy stories from yesteryear is the drink stealer. Darce, remember the drink stealer?
I remember
at the MCG?
That very well. I remember there nearly being some legal issues
was.
At the time.
We sort of built it up. And
did we find out who it was?
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we knew who it was.
Who was it?
No, and Chief, Spud loved it. Spud just was in his element. And we got sat down by the Triple M lawyers on the day we're about to name names and told we couldn't, and we never have and never will.
The actual lawyer said you can't name who it is.
And Damon, can I remind people that in the day you'd have the fridge and you'd Chief would have his zeros there, his Coke
Diet,
Zero, Diet Coke.
Not Coke Zero.
No, sorry, Diet Cokes, and you could go to the fridge and you could take a couple of drinks and then word came out. Sorry, am I stealing your story?
No. I'm glad you're setting it up that way because that's exactly what happened, and JB was ropeable as much as anyone when it came out this way.
I've gone and got a white cup, a plastic cup. I put ice in there. I went under the Diet Coke post-mix.
Which is a bad disgrace in itself.
Which we're only drinking because the drink stealer kept stealing the other bloody drinks. Under it went and vapour came out. Just gas. Just air. Just came out. I've turned to Bazza. I said, Bazza, what's this? He said, sorry, pal. Until we work out what's so rotten here. She's machine off.
Yeah, and no one is beyond suspicion, he said.
So, Howie, we even got one day Stephen Goff, who was running the MCG at the time, on, and he said there was CCTV of this person at the end of each game going into the fridge area.
Who was it, Damo?
Putting a backpack underneath it and using the right arm to swipe the entire row of drinks into his bag. So that was Stephen Goff saying that at the time. The reason I'm raising all this and the reason I'm setting all this up is it pains me to say.
Why are you laughing, Nate?
That there is a drinks dealer amongst this group.
It's got to be Nate
sitting with
laughing.
Me tonight. And he's just realised who I'm talking to about.
Oh, no.
Now, I want to set this up. This guy, Nathan Brown, who is on top of the ground at the moment, the finasteride's working, the Botox is working, he's just knocked out Kane Corns, he's got a lot of money to do so.
Crypto.
Crypto's flying. Christina's so in love. We had a beautiful day last Sunday with him. He got a free trip with his family through the Channel 9 sponsorship of Goombaya World, and they looked after him. He had a little incident with an animal. We'll just may talk about that later on, but he had special screenings of live animal performances just for the Brown family.
Oh,
they
nice.
Get everything put on for them, Das.
He's airborne.
He's airborne.
Had her own cabana.
And then as he's going, as he's leaving, there may be some CCTV of Nathan putting a little bag under the fridge, using the right arm. The entire contents of the soft drinks into said bag, having had the whole day provided to you for free.
Oh, no.
Is this true?
That's absolutely true, Dave.
Why would you do that, Nate?
We went to Goombaya World, beautiful place out there. We were able to go on the water slides, the rides, the dodgem cars, and then went home in cabana, and it was stocked the fridge. So they said, anything you want today, it is on us, and they bought us food.
While you're there.
At the venue. At the venue, in the fridge.
To consume our very own fridge.
While you're at Goombaya World.
Our very
world.
Own fridge. Probably lucky you didn't take the whole fridge.
Did you go and steal an animal as well and knock one of them off and bring them home
just
too,
just the
waters
and the soft drinks I put into the big bag and took them home for the
How many drinks, Nate?
There was about three.
You don't use a whole arm for three, Nate.
Is there vision, Damo?
There is vision, which I'm trying to get my hands on.
Go get the vision then, Damo.
Do you know
Let's
the best
see.
Part, Damo, the best part of the whole story was we were all laughing about the original drink stealer. And it was wasn't until halfway through the story the penny dropped with Nate and he started giggling. He was just enjoying, thinking, oh, it's not me. Oh, hang on, it's me.
Nate, and this has concerned me for a while that you're on this great run in life and everything's going well.
But the way I look at it, they said, the drinks are yours.
How you look at it.
The drinks are yours. So I didn't want to leave them there.
It's a given that you can chew on
off.
The premises.
So I
drinks don't
would have
go
gone off. Yes. Lemonade
so,
didn't just so go Nate, off.
Say someone put a bar tab on for you, Nate.
I did want the Coke vanilla.
You went to a bar and put on a bar tab. At the end of the night, do you go behind the bar and just reef all of the spirit?
That's different. You know that. That's silly. I wouldn't do that. That's stealing.
We're not sure what you wouldn't do, Nate.
Just on the Goombaya World, word did cross my desk too, and I put this to you on TV last week, and you didn't quite come out with the full story. Did you have a little encounter with an animal?
It was an incident.
What sort of animal
was it? Was it a quokka?
It's a quokka.
You didn't try and put that in your bag too, did you, Chief?
No. It nearly ended up in a bag.
You didn't kick it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, no.
So the zoologist, behind the scenes look, and she picked up the baby quokka because the daddy quokka was wrestling the baby quokka and it was getting a little bit upset. But when the zoologist picked up the baby quokka, then the mama quokka went off its absolute head and scratched Jude on the leg, so he's already bleeding, and then launched itself onto Florence's hand and wouldn't let go. I had to get this quokka reefing out while
you,
the other kids were screaming.
How'd you get it off Florence's hand?
CCTV
I tickled
this
it, Chief.
Did you tickle it, or did you put some of your boxing maneuvers into play?
There was no brilliant place that I felt like we deserved the drinks at the end of the
day. You didn't start playing quokka soccer, Nate.
No, come on.
Can you give it an uppercut?
Yeah, don't even joke about that, please.
Look, these things happen. You're dealing with live animals.
Mate,
and an unfortunate,
a quokka is one of the most placid, gentle,
not this
beautiful animals.
This one was a bit like you when you hit Rob Murphy in the back of the head. The eyes are rolling back.
Did the quokka attack you because it saw you stealing the drinks, Nate?
No.
And how did the zoologist cope with you whacking one of the quokkas?
No, I did not whack one of the
quokkas
at all.
Was Florence harmed?
Florence, no. She had a bit of a thing on her thumb.
Lost a finger.
It was a great day, though. It's a beautiful place for families. If you want to go out there, dodge them cars. Yeah. No, you don't get free drinks. It was just for us.
But you can go out and get savaged by a couple of marsupials.
And then at the end of the day, you knock off the whole bar fridge.
Except for the vanilla cokes.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Bombers taking on the Adelaide Crows. Privileged to be joined by the coach of the Crows. His name is Matthew Nix. He joins us now. Coach Mark Howard here. A win like last week, what does it do for a football club?
Oh, it definitely gives some belief, Howie. It probably backs in maybe the belief that was already there, but it just reaffirms it. I guess puts a little bit more backing in behind. And, you know, we've been working on our game right throughout the year. Things haven't been quite where we wanted them. We felt like the week prior was a real step in the right direction, and then to consolidate that and get a win, especially over a team that hadn't lost on the season, on their home deck, you know, in Victoria, an away game for us, a lot of things that we know we've got to improve in. It was a really positive step for us.
Nixie, tell us about the emotional roller coaster as a coach. I mean, you're sitting there at 0-4 and the world's caving in on you, and then you play like an absolutely brilliant side, which we saw so much of last year. How do you put your finger on where they go from one week to the next?
If I'm being honest, we've got a couple of areas of our game that we know we've got to improve on, but we haven't been playing bad football. We've played some good footy. We haven't really clicked with our ball movement. The game's not won and lost with ball movement. I thought we've competed well, and we've played some high-quality sides across the first four rounds. So we run into Gold Coast up there, and they're having their second hit out, our first hit out of the year in wet conditions. We meet, you know, Geelong, who they've gone on and shown they're going to be a powerhouse this year again. We have probably a poor game in Freo, which I think we put our hand up. That wasn't our best. And what stood out there was our ball use. It was off. Our execution, our skills, that can come from other areas. So it can be things that we're not getting right in other areas of the game that can then sort of transition into our skill execution. Melbourne, we felt, as I said, was a step in the right direction. And then Carlton, you know, we get a result. We played similar footy to the Melbourne game, but we were able to, you know, get ourselves across the line. So we've felt internally that we're not that far away. Understand the frustration of, you know, a lot of people and the supporters and members understand that when you're zero, but it's nice to get a win, just to tick that along. We'd love to get another one tonight.
Yeah, and well done, Nixie, on that. And I think all of us can see the talent on the list and how devastating you were at times last year and back with that win. For me, the player that I'm maybe most excited about on your list is on the long-term injury list, Riley Thilthorpe. Can you give us a bit of an update on him? And it's a bit of out of sight, out of mind, Nixie. Can you remind people of what he brings to the table?
Oh, God, I'll remind myself. He was massive through the preseason. Took another step, you know, in the direction we knew he would. He's a young key position player. They're always going to take a little bit longer, but we felt coming into the preseason this year, we got a hit out against Port Adelaide. We then got a hit out against West Coast, and that's where he unfortunately injured his knee. We felt like, you know, he was one of our most important and influential players at that point. No one wanted to play on him in the preseason. He was just in such good form with his hands. And so it was disappointing to lose him, but it's part of his journey. You know, it's part of our journey as well. You do have setbacks, and you've got to be able to replace those. But I think he'll come back even stronger. He's in the gym now. He's pumping even more weights. His mindset had shifted as well, you know, as a key forward. He wanted to dominate his opponents, which, you know, wasn't there 2 or 3 years ago. So we're really pleased with where he's at. Disappointed to lose him, but he'll be a strength going forward.
Matthew, I know the club thinks so highly of Jake Soligo and has now secured him long-term on a nice deal. Yet to get near 50 games of footy and yet equally impacting some pretty big moments for you, how far further can he go with his footy?
Yeah, he's been a real, not a surprise packet. You can't say that, but he's the level of his footy this year has just jumped. He's gone through the roof. He's always had work rate. He's a professional. He lives with Joshie Rochelle and Nen Curvis, so we've got a really nice connection there between three guys we believe are going to be super important to our footy club longer term. But Jakey's taken that next step. In fact, I would say, you know, while we're talking about the boys, Joshie Rochelle, even over the last couple of weeks, has really embraced a slightly new role for him and has been important to us winning games of footy. So I think Solly's still got a lot more upside as well. He's playing really at the moment on a bit of raw talent through the midfield. He goes for hard balls. He's got a good balance of inside outside. But we just hope he keeps developing. I think body wise, he's only going to get stronger, get a little bit more balance in him as well. But really positive for us going forward.
Nixie, as a coaching group, how hard is it to balance your star players who, like Isaac Rankin, goes into the midfield last week, does a great job, but obviously you'd love to have him playing forward as well. A Rochelle, the same sort of thing. They can do things that other players can't do. How hard is it to balance up the midfield time and having them forward where you want them to do their work?
Yeah, it's the challenge for us. I mean, I'd love to have Isaac Rankin on ball all day. He will have to have a rest on the bench at stints. He's got an elite engine. So I think it's only a matter of time. But in saying that, just with where we sit at the moment, yeah, our ability to put a score on the board, he's very important in that ahead of the ball. So, you know, he finds his two or three goals a game when he's forward. You know, we have expectations on Tex and Fogarty as well in that space. What we don't want to do is thin that out too much. You know, we need goal kickers. But I think last week was probably a template of what you're going to see going forward is a lot more centre-bounce work for Isaac, because it's a unique part of our game still now where, you know, it is spread out and you can show your individual talent in there. And I think we'll just work on that, whether we can get more time for the midfield for Isaac, but, and as well as Rochelle. But as I mentioned before, he's playing a slightly different role at the moment, which we're going to keep him in for a number of weeks.
What worries you the most about the opposition tonight, Nixie?
Well, I mean, we've obviously watched a fair bit of their footy closely, especially the last couple of weeks. So they were here recently against Port. You know, a lot of talk about them, you know, Port doing a number on them. I didn't see that watching the vision back. We watched it in a lot more detail. I saw a pretty ferocious Essendon right throughout. I mean, they should have been a lot further in front at quarter time. So we know that they're bringing contest. We know what they can do. In fact, they've embarrassed us as short time ago as last year. They put us to the sword at Marble. So, you know, there's a little bit there that we look back on. We want to be better in a couple of areas. We know we're going to have to be, because if you give them a little bit of time and space, they're elite by hands. Their midfielders are sharp. They don't mind flicking the ball around, and we won't be able to stop them if they get that going and deliver down towards Stringer, who seems to be in probably some of his best form.
We always appreciate your time on game night. You're always very good with us, Coach. We appreciate it. Good luck to you and your team tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Time for...
He's a self-proclaimed footy superstar.
I reckon I was probably the most influential player in the AFL.
He fears nothing and no one.
This is all off-air stuff that you're not allowed to talk about on air. But I've gone with it anyway. Yeah.
And he sees the world a little differently.
Just watching a Komodo dragon eat a monkey.
This is Nathan Brown's Top 5.
So after becoming the champ a couple of weeks ago, when I did my five, there has been a few offers. There's been a few offers to maybe go again, but no, I'm not thinking about it.
You got an offer that next night, actually. Greg Williams said, I'm nearly 60, and I'll fight you now.
He did. Right now.
Right now, if required.
So we spoke about it at Fox last night. Lee Montagna's prepared to take Brownie on.
Really?
Yeah, Joey will take you on.
Can he go?
Viet Ingham.
Yeah.
I think I'll buy Ray Chamberlain's up for the fight, too.
So the top five potential next fights.
Oh,
for you,
but I'm coming at it from the angle of Floyd Mayweather, who only fought people he knew he could win against. So he liked to hand select his opponents. So these opponents are hand selected I feel like a win. I'll put Joey in as an honourable mention as well. He can go straight in.
These are five chumps.
Your first opponent.
Maybe not chumps, just and. They're a step up from Kane.
Right.
But people I think I can still beat.
Okay.
And chance. That quokka last week was a special mention.
Right, who you got?
So at number five.
Chump number five.
I'm sick of this guy putting me in the nuff-nuff on a Saturday afternoon, but I feel like Bernie Vince would be a perfect starter at number five.
Ooh,
he's got the nice, good looks. I think he's a sort of skinny. I think he'd be relatively soft. I reckon I'd be able to get
the job done. He's tall and you've got a longer reach.
And a longer reach, absolutely.
He's a country boy from down the Yorkshire.
I wouldn't underestimate him, really.
But you boys did not see Nathan live. Chief and I did. And
I'm worried about Bernie. I think Bernie
impressive.
Might take him.
Yeah, no, I'm backing you, Nate, for sure.
All right. Okay. At number four, and I work with this guy on a Sunday, and I'm sick of Jay Clark talking up the fact that he had one professional fight many, many years ago.
Has a video of it on his phone.
A video, and he shows people. Fight. So you're out at a bar, and he'll show people. Yeah. He'll go, this is what I used to do. I'm Jay Clark now. I run the Herald Sun, but this is what I used to do. He had a win as well.
Four
so he's
tall.
One and none. I am one and none. And I feel like Jay Clark, for me, I think I'd be able to have him covered as well.
He's got to come down a couple of weight. This
he's got it on his phone, Jay.
He's got it on his phone.
Yep. I'd love to see that fight.
That'd be a good fight.
Yeah, number three. I'd pay now, to I reckon see that. This guy's a bit of a myth. And I played with this guy, and this one might be a little bit of a stretch, but the push-up king, I reckon I could take the push-up.
My man.
I'd have the reach on him, because have you ever seen how small his arms are? You think my arms are small. His arms are abnormally small. For a man who's normal.
This man become
I feel incredibly confident saying, he will put you into next week. No, he will you clean out.
No, yeah, he would. I used to train with him and play him a fair bit. I feel like I'd have him covered.
Be a good crowd.
The push-up king.
Yeah, good crowd. Push-up.
It'd be a great crowd.
Dust, how good confident crowd. Has he got? Yeah, out of control.
That's false confidence, that one.
Yeah. Now, the only reason I got into boxing was because one of our great mates, James Brayshaw, invited me down to do some boxing with Luke Soulis, who we went into Richmond Boxing Club, and I feel like if I am going to take a chump, it'd be Jim at number two.
Correct. He couldn't punch his way out of a paper bag.
He says he's got craft.
He's got zero craft. He's unfit at the moment too, so he's got a lot of work to do, Jim.
The only craft he has is how to lie down properly on the floor of the ring. Warrior?
That's a fight you should take.
Yeah,
that's
one you should take. And number one, I've dined out on this for a long time, and the fact that I did kick 5 goals in 15 minutes at the MCG.
I know where you're going.
So I'd like to give Jimmy Clement an opportunity maybe get some of those 5 goals back, because it was a great day for me. I've had some few great days since, but Jimmy Clement at number one, just to give an opportunity to get a couple back.
He would be on the first plane over here if that offer's legitimate.
Yep, 100%.
He's
and
a big
Clement,
boy, Jimmy.
Not Clement or Clement. He's not French. It's Jimmy Clement.
Jimmy Clement. So that's it. That's it. That's the top 5.
We started talking about having a day out. I thought Peter Luchak was going to get around.
Yeah, I've already beaten him. 6-3, 6-4.
I like it.
Push up king
in there. Yeah. That is. He might storm the studio.
That's guy.
Yeah. Damon, do you want to give a bit of news, or should we continue to talk about Nathan?
No, we can talk about Nathan. I might give Jakey a text in the next hour.
Let him know if he wants
to come on. Actually, Snorkel might be able to do that. In fact, he's ringing him right now, I think. See if he wants to come on.
He's on the phone.
A few issues at Carlton, Howie, off-field. Andrew Russell, I mean, every high-performance boss at a footy club's under pressure like the players, but he's under immense pressure now, Chief. Before last week's game, they lost Chera, soft tissue. During the game, they lost Saad and McGovern. Prior to that, they'd lost Martin and Motlop, again, soft tissue, and we knew over the off-season there was a soft tissue with Jacob Weidring. I mean, these things can happen, but the way footy clubs work, and with Carlton coming off what was their first loss of the year last week against Adelaide, without those players now for some time for soft tissue reasons, it's a watch this space in there.
It's interesting, isn't it? But we don't know if they've changed their program or not this time around. So if it's the same program, you would suspect it's just bad luck?
Yeah. It could be. Look, the talk in the off-season was that they loaded them up, but I think a lot of clubs went down that same path to load up. But equally Richmond too. And you feel for Adam Uze, don't you, Brownie, with the situation he's got. So just some names here. Lynch, Taranto, Bolter, Short, Gibkiss, Prestia, Hopper, Ross, Grimes.
You just can't compete.
You can't compete.
I feel like they've done a great job. I saw them play against Sydney, did a really good job. Saw them play against St Kilda. They were in front for most of that game. Last week was pretty ordinary going over to the West Coast, but West Coast played well. But I just feel like there's not a lot in this season for them now. I mean, they're going to be chasing their tail, and you do feel for Adam Uze. You'd love to have those players back. It feels like they're going to lose Baker if you hear what's going on around the football club. Maybe Baker's not going to be there. So they've got some hard yards ahead of them.
I think if you've made the appointment of Adam Uze, there's enough evidence to see that group bought in. You can see there's a style of play they want to play.
Competitive,
and
yeah.
When they had their full list together, I think you'd be feeling pretty happy about.
Almost beat the Blues as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Enough good signs there, but you're right. You can't lose that many players
in the one hit
and be competitive.
Yeah, and again, just to your point, Dust, about the faith in Uze, there's no issue with that at all. And you just need to remind people that Damien Hardwick, who ultimately was a very successful coach, premiership-wise, lost his first 9 games in the same corresponding year for Adam Uze, so he's at least beaten him in that one. Hawthorn playing North Melbourne on Sunday. There's a morbid element to this game in that sporting context with what happens to the loser here. Both yet to win a game of footy this year, but there's no love between the two coaches, Sam Mitchell and Alistair Clarkson. Hawthorn has taken a dip, and they would almost admit that from where they felt they were going to be, and North Melbourne just cannot get a win. It's who have you got in it, Chief, in the game?
I'm just hoping Hawthorn can win. I'll be watching that keenly.
Chief, can I
it's
ask you the question?
Matchup because, I mean, the carrot's big for one team to actually register a win.
Did you catch any of Sam Mitchell's post-game press conference? I was up there on the Gold Coast, and look, I think he's got a really clear, direct message. It was an old school, if we compete like that, prepared to come to training, prepared to lose players at training. If you can't compete on game day, I mean, no one prepared more professionally for sport than Sam Mitchell. And it felt like he was saying, if you're not uncovering every rock to get better, then you're not going to be part of this program going forward.
Well, I think, and I spoke to him Wednesday night at a Hawthorn Hall of Fame function where he was inducted alongside Luke Hodge, Al Martello and Alan Jeans was elevated to legend status. And congratulations to all of those gentlemen. I think it's just a case of saying that was an unacceptable effort last week. And sometimes you've just got to draw the line and say something that gives everyone a bit of a wake-up call. And I've got no problem with a coach doing that, whoever it might be.
Knowing what you know now, Chief, if you had one pick in the draft, would you take Mitchell or Hodge?
Can't pick. It's like if I said, who's your favourite kid?
He's got one.
I do not name it. No, I can't pick.
On the draft, this is something that fascinates me because I haven't been inside a football club, so you three have. You're talking about the Kangaroos versus North. I called the game the Kangas won. Was it the last game of the season last year?
They beat
the Gold Coast, which cost them the number one draft pick.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking and texted a couple of Kangaroos fans, this is a disaster. Your season couldn't have got any worse apart from winning today. And I was working with David King, knows more about football than I will ever know. And he's like, no, this is a positive for the footy club. This is fantastic. With this fabric of the footy club and having to win, like I look at Harley Reid now and think if they had lost that game, Damo, he was playing for the Kangaroos.
Yeah, look, I take a different view, Howie, and it's not with my allegiance to North Melbourne. They ended up getting a raft of AFL assistance by winning that game. If they hadn't have won it, they would have got the first pick and they wouldn't have got the assistance. So they've got McKercher, Dersma, others have been brought in. I also look at it too. They had the equivalent of Harley Reid, the way he was being spoken about in the year they got Jason Horne-Francis, and they couldn't keep him. I'm not sure they're equipped to keep someone of that nature at the moment, the way they're being run. And the fact that Ben McKay had won 8 matches in 80 games of football, the fact that Harry Sheezel has played now, 23 last year, 5 this year, he's had 3 wins from 28 matches of football. So let's move on, though, to Harley Reid, because he has breathed life into this derby on the weekend in a way that I cannot wait for that game to start.
Thumbs on seats, Damo.
Yeah, I think he's in that category you've got. And he already, at such a young age, I think he's brought the best brownie out of Elliot Yeo. He's back to his 2018 Yeo, yeah. levels. So, yeah, I mean, I know I've moved the conversation on there.
No,
but it's equally exciting for West Coast to be just a half a chance in this derby, which I think 3 weeks ago they were going to get blown away.
And a club that powerful and that well-resourced and that well-run, historically, the West Coast Eagles. And there was a lot of early talk I heard about loading up the compensation picks. That they will get it right eventually. They've had a horror patch. Got a good coach. They've got a premiership-winning coach. So I'm not concerned about West Coast and their future and where they're heading. It's going to take some time, but that was always going to happen.
Breaking news. No. On the line.
No.
Jake Push King. Up. Jake King is on the line. Yeah. Jakey, Mark Howard here. Sorry to interrupt your Friday night. How are you, great man?
I'm good, Howie. How are you, brother?
Well, I couldn't be better to speak to you. So moments ago, I'm not sure if you're aware, Nathan listed his top 5 chumps that he could beat in a fight. And at number 2, you were there, Jake.
Well, I got a couple of messages. And I didn't think he'd be that stupid. But clearly, I'd be more than happy to entertain that idea because it'll last as long as his modelling career back in football. So I reckon it'll be short-lived.
Can we just state for the record that I was the first one to immediately say, you're no chance, Nate.
And I was the second, Jake.
You got a lot of love from the rest of us, Jake.
I reckon you'd struggle with the reach, King.
He's doubled down.
Well, I tell you what, Nathan, if you'd like to, and for the humour of the boys, I'd fight with one hand behind my back. and I'll give you 8-ounce gloves and I'll wear 20.
There is an offer. Yes. This sounds like a Friday huddle.
Exclusive.
We'll go down there to Leo Berry's gym.
Yep, just down to the gym.
King, are you happy to come down and make that happen?
I'm more than happy to. Only I won't be as kind as Rocker with McKernan. With Big Corey. I'm not going to catch him when he falls. So as long as you're happy with that, and there's a waiver, but can you just call Christine and make sure she's happy with that first of all? Get it signed off by the boss, please.
Hey, Jakey, how's it feel to be called a chump?
So I've been called a lot worse, Damo, but obviously he's scared because he's called me a lot worse than that, especially on air, but he doesn't want to dig his own grave too much. So
he mentioned that he had short arms too, push-up, which I didn't like.
Actually, Jakey, let's have a listen because you haven't heard it. This is the first time.
No, please
okay,
do.
Roll the audio tape, Leroy.
I'd love to see that fight.
That'd be a good fight.
Yeah, number three. I'd pay
now, I reckon this guy's a bit of a myth, and I played with this guy, and this one might be a little bit of a stretch, but the push-up king, I reckon I could take the push-up.
My man.
I'd have the reach
on him, mate.
Because have you ever seen how small his arms are? You think my arms are small. His arms are abnormally small.
A myth.
How does this man become?
A myth, Jake.
Yeah. Yeah. Can someone arrange that, please?
Yeah.
can we set this one up?
We can. Hey, Jakey, before we let you go, and we appreciate you ringing in, we'll sort this out. What are you up to in life at the moment? Be a massive cult figure at the Richmond Football Club.
Mate, just I'm actually making an honest living, working in a dealership at the moment with caravan, so doing that and raising a couple of kids, so life's pretty good at the moment. Good. Couldn't
happy
be happier.
I mean, before we let Jay go, Nathan hasn't really said anything. Is there anything you'd like to say to Jake?
I'm starting to have second thoughts, to be honest. But we'll see how we go. He's a good man, Jake.
And Jake,
don't give us that.
Swearing up now.
Oh, wow.
Jakey, you saw the Tiger Premierships. What did that mean to you as a heart and soul fabric man at that football club?
I did. It was actually, you know why? It's one of them things that when you're playing at a club, it's something you dream about. You walk out of there still hoping for the best. So the first one that got over the line, I think, like everyone else, I was relieved, but I couldn't be any more prouder than the boys and the club. And if you can't have it, then your best mate's winning it is probably the next best thing. So I was proud of the boys. And I was quite happy. And, yeah, I just hope they can dig out of the hole they're in now and it's not too far away and the sun starts shining again.
Good on you, Jake. You've always been a member of the Triple M family. It sounds like we're going to see you very soon down at the boxing gym. And I think we all can't wait for that. Good on you, mate.
Looking forward to it, boys. Thank you.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Howie's Hot Topics.
Chief, I'll start with you because you're the legend. A few stats for you, and then I've got a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Announced in the paper this week that due to protests in the city of Melbourne, 10,000 police shifts have been lost. There's been 560 protests in the CBD in the last 6 months. The only two councils in Australia where you do not need a permit, capital city-wise, to protest are Melbourne and Canberra. So protesting in the city, 560 in 6 months. But many people feel it is part of the democracy, Damien, to be able to put your point across to the people. Where do you sit on this protesting situation?
I think people have a right to protest, but you have a right to protest by also following the law. And I think when you're protesting affects the lives and welfare and well-being of others and their ability to execute their jobs for, and things like that, I then have a very negative reaction to the protesters. So that's where I think you're on standby with the hoses.
It just wound inward and then you've gone for hosing them down.
Well, once you start to cause chaos and you bring a city to a gridlock standstill.
So if you're blocking the Westgate Bridge, I'm with you, Chief.
Get the hose.
If I'm happy to get the hose out.
And standing on the roof.
But you have a right to protest. Just do it the right way.
Been a few good reasons to protest living in this city in recent times, Howie. When
you've led a couple of them, Chief.
I've actually felt like joining a couple for the first time in my life. When you have your city locked down for 2 years and you take your kids out of school for 2 years, Howie, I think that's probably right to be able to go out.
But those protests got dealt with a lot more harshly than the other ones, though.
There's correct. Another political statement. When they glue their hands to the ground, Howie, I've seen what other police forces around the world do, and they just remove them. Without,
that sounds
no, but I think if you make that decision, that should be that okay. could be a potential outcome.
Righto. Have you got anything to add, champ? Or
well,
not? I don't think you should. I just stay.
I will.
I like to throw out numbers without much fact behind them. Okay. So I'll estimate that maybe 15% of them believe in the cause of what they're doing, and I think the others just go along for the ride.
Okay.
What was 15? The 10cc song? Load up, your rubber bullets.
She's been the most out there.
All right. I saw a footballer 2 weeks ago, and I won't name him because one of you may, that I wasn't that familiar with. Name a future star of the comp, Nathan, starting with you, that many footy fans won't be over familiar with. So you can't. I don't want to hear Harley Reid in this conversation. Yep. I want to hear someone that you think can take the competition by storm over the next few years that we're not that familiar with.
Well, he's only played a handful of games, but I think Buku Kamis is that player. I've watched him grow this year as a backman. He intercepts the ball so well. He reads it well. He's got a good footy IQ. He's got some aggression about him as well. So I think he's going to go from strength to strength.
I like it. Damo.
This guy's been around for a while. He's already been at two footy clubs, kicked 41 goals in a team that won 10 matches last year. I'm going with Ollie Henry at Geelong.
Oh, yeah, it's good.
I think he's got sky limit sort of potential.
So we've got Buku Kamis. We've got Ollie Henry Chieftain.
Well, I did the game last night, so I was going to go down Nathan's path, which worries me. And Damo didn't exactly go out on a limb, did he? You said someone that's not really exposed as yet. I will go for young Daniel Curtin, who we haven't seen yet. I think he's going to develop into a very good key defender.
Okay.
I'm leaning towards another Ollie from Geelong, young Ollie lad Dempsey. Called Ollie Dempsey, who hasn't quite got the elevation yet, but you wait for another 18 months, 2 years, he will be a genuine star of
the
game.
Is that your IDAS or what you're hearing about him?
Oh, I know him from a young age. He disappeared and played basketball for 5 or 6 years and was eyeing off college basketball, and he's a late grower. And when Stephen Wells selected him, I thought, that is a genius selection. Mm. He's an outstanding athlete and got a lot to get excited about, Ollie Dempsey.
Right, you didn't choose mine. I saw this bloke play his first game, and if he was playing for Collingwood, he'd be all over the paper. Sam Closey, number 33 for the Gold Coast Suns. Most people won't have heard of him. I think he had 20-odd and a goal in his first game, and he did pretty well in the game. You called
backed
it up.
He was good last week. Yeah, had to go back to the VFL because he got overlooked in the draft and played down at Werribee, I think. Sam Closey. I'm with you, Howie. He's got a bit of Nick Martin about him.
Yes, he does. Very
good player.
I watch a lot of sport on Fox, not so much as Chief, and I often think, what I like to call this sport. I would love to call Chief a Formula One race. I'd love to get the opportunity to commentate one Formula One race in my life. What sport, Chiefy, would you like to, aside from the one you cover so magnificently, broadcast?
I would probably go EPL.
EPL?
Yep.
Well, alongside Martin Tyler and the Chief. Let's go to Chelsea versus Liverpool. That would be outstanding.
I'm the same. I love EPL.
EPL for you?
I'm the same.
I think you're going to go American.
You know that, don't you? Yeah. I love Joe Buck, the commentator.
So you're going to be a play-by-play man, Jim? Yeah.
So you'll take Troy's spot, move him out of the way, and work with Joe Buck.
I just take Joe Buck's role. I love Joe Buck, Chief. When I know Joe Buck is calling a game, it just adds a layer to it to me that I just adore.
Tell you what I will never do again, Howie. One, because I would never do it again, but they never have me back. And that was the tennis, Howie, that I saw you mid
you did
that week. Never been more stressed in my life. Good. Never been more out of my depth.
So not tennis. You not dominated tennis. Netball when you called it. But I throw me another sport that you'd like to do.
I'd like to go to the Olympics and just sit alongside, make coffee for Bruce. And if you needed me to sit there, I'd be happy to do that.
Well, it's on Nine this year. Nate, what are you broadcasting in the Olympics?
I'm not doing the Olympics, no. I think our man Chompers will be over there
doing a fair bit.
Yes.
I think he is.
Yep.
Charlie Cameron. They listed what a wonderful man he was, Dame, at the tribunal, and from all reports he got off, which was given the term the good bloke factor. If you were going up to the tribunal and you had to put forward your case and you had to put forward your best quality, Damo, to get you off a situation, what is your best quality?
We're going that way. I would like to think that I'm a vault when people tell me something.
Right.
It stays in the vault.
I agree with that.
Very good.
And
it's a good quality.
I think it's a reasonable quality.
Is that counterintuitive to your job, though, Damo?
A little stories go dust these days. But it's more important to me, without wanting to be too soppy about it, for to have that person still...
I like that.
Trust me.
I'm going to save you because I just fascinates me what you're going to go with, Nate. Chief, what is your best quality in your eyes?
I have an enormous sense of humour.
You actually do, Chief. But...
You do. I know you do. I didn't know where you were going there, Chief.
That might be the funniest thing you've ever said, Chief, with that enormous sense of humour of yours.
Pause as well. Okay. What about you, Dars? What's your best...
I didn't overthink this, but I don't think this helps me at the tribunal, but it would be loyalty.
Loyalty.
I'd say I'm loyal. Okay. Howie?
You are loyal.
Not sure it gets me off.
But, no, you're loyal. Yeah. All right, Nate, you can't Google what your best quality.
Yourself first, Howie, before we get to Nate.
Yes, actually, yeah.
It's not humility.
I know. I think I'm quite empathetic, Chief. I think I'm happy
to
listen to people, and if they've got an issue, just happy to sit there.
And I think they're happy to tell you their stories.
I think I'm empathetic. Yes. But this, I framed this whole question because this is the bloke that I wanted to know about.
Well, I asked Christina this when you sent these through.
No, she said,
God, still in love. God lives in you, Nathan. So my best quality is God living in me.
It's a godliness.
Yes, it's a godliness.
Did he say steal those drinks at Goodbye World last week?
No, they were my drinks. I didn't steal them. They were my drinks.
Well done. We've got 1 minute before we need to hand over to Yates here.
I want to find more about the Crocker incident before we wrap up.
I've got one final one for you because my hero growing up was obviously the great Jason Dunster alongside Alan Border. He knows that. Chief, who was your hero as a young fella?
Greg Chappell. I loved my cricket too.
Greg Chappell.
Yep. Gregory Stephen.
Did you get a message from Greg Chappell?
I did, which I was thrilled with.
What did that mean to you?
Lovely. Brilliant. I was over the moon.
Fantastic.
Nate? We had dinner with my idol last week being Greg Williams.
Damo?
Keith Gregg. Loved him. And one of the nicest guys you'd ever meet, too.
What about you, Doug?
I don't think Duke's going Greg Williams.
No, I'm...
That's the strafing in golf.
It used to be. The great Sticks Kernahan. I still feel like a 10-year-old when I bump into Sticks. The all-time great.
The Triple M Footy Friday Huddle for the TAC. Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.